Turn over to Genesis, if you would, this morning. Genesis chapter 5. And I hope this is interesting to me. And I hope with the help of the Lord, the guidance of the Lord, that we can hope it'll be interesting to you. It's a little different approach this morning. I guess because I was thinking about Memorial Day and what it kind of means to us around our home, and then you probably got things you do in the summer, or Memorial Day kind of kicks off this or that. What I've done and is tried to go back and looked at, you know, you see that on TV advertised all the time, Ancestry.com. So what I've tried to do is go back and look and just kind of give us an idea, maybe when I say where we came from or our ancestors, kind of go back and look at Noah's sons, his descendants. And I did this something similar years and years and years ago. And so I went back and tried to do a little research on, as it's listed in the scripture, what each tribe represents as far as a country or a nation. And part of that, the reason why, is because, you know, we think about tribulation period, we think about nations rising up against Israel, and we're given some names, and you know, a lot of times we're thought of those as being Russia, or maybe Iran, or Turkey, or, you know, China, etc. And so what the idea was try to go back and connect those to those three sons after the flood and Noah, and kind of see the peoples that were, I guess, came from those, that lineage. And so anyway, I don't plan to be up here before you very long, and I say that I know every time, but hopefully this would be something, again, get you to just think about, and be a little different approach this morning, and it was very educational for me, and so hopefully it's something we can learn, and as you study out the scripture, it may help you understand why we have the turmoil that we do today. It goes all the way back to, you know, you've heard pastors say, and we've heard some evangelists say, and other preachers here said, you know, the fighting that's going over in the Middle East, that's going to continue going on until the Lord returns. They just don't like Israel. They don't like the Jewish nation. And from this, you can kind of get an idea where that goes back to, but also see that they're all related as far as like ancestors go. And so we'll start with chapter 5. Now, this is going to do verse 21 through 29. And that gives us up to date to Noah. And then we'll go to chapter 9, and we'll just look at about six, maybe seven or eight verses, and that gets us Noah's children. And I'll do the best I can with some of these pronunciation of the names. But we'll do chapter 5, verse 21 first. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. See, that's why I've read that to you before, and I know you've heard it before. But, you know, as you look there, and I can't spend a lot of time there, as I'll never get to everything else. But, you know, all these were descendants of Seth. And as you look, I wonder if Enoch ever had the opportunity. I didn't go back and look and see that, but I've said I was going to do that and never have. Did he ever have a chance to speak with Seth or speak with even Adam about what it was like to walk with God? But something in his life, because it specifically mentions that and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 108 and 7 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 780 and 2 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 180 and 2 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. So already then, Lamech and the lineage of Seth there knew that man was wicked, was not living according to God's will. And so we'll stop there as far as looking at Noah. But that's when Noah was born, so he was the grandson of Methuselah. And according to the way, if you read this out, you know, he might have known Methuselah. I mean, being able to, like a granddad would have been. And even, of course, Enoch was Methuselah's Father. So sometimes you think about that, and I'll move on, because again, I know sometimes you get tied up in this, and your mind would drift off, but they would have known each other. So I could get information or a family heritage from your grandparents or from your parents, and I always thought that was neat, kind of finding out where you were from and what did my granddad do, what did my great-granddad do, and just find that interesting. So as Christians, it's good for us to know. And what you'll see here is that Gentiles were on the outside, and how we were brought into what I guess the family of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And as we look here, so if you go over to chapter 9, and we'll read that, and then we'll get right down to just the tribes and what they represent today. And I think it's really be eye opening for you. Like I said, I did this years ago, something similar. After the gentleman with the Bibles came and brought the Bibles, and it got me interested in saying, what exactly, when he said, go replenish the earth and there's three sons, what tribes do they make up? And we know one of those is going to be cursed. So what peoples would that be? But so chapter 9, verses 18 through 27, 28, I guess. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. So we think about the whole earth was populated from these three. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine, and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, and laid it upon both of their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be this servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And that's important there when you talk about and shall enlarge Japheth. We'll see in just a second. And he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. In other words, they should dwell together. But that gets important anyway. I'll have to share that with you in a second. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. So you think about lineage, think about our ancestors. You know, I think about, I found out two Thanksgivings ago that most of my people came from North Carolina. Some did stop off in Southwest Virginia, and I guess they said, we're not going any farther. That's why there's a few little group of Odals in Southwest Virginia. That'd probably been the group I'd have been with. I'd have said, no, Mississippi River, no, that's too far. I'm going to stay right here. Not going any further. I like these mountains. But four of the kids, four sons, all went to West Tennessee, and they got land grants at the time. Now, they ended up being sharecroppers in Mississippi and West Tennessee Civil War time, but about 100 years had passed. So I like trying to find out where your family came from, and that's why there's a little group of Odals down there. They were giving land away at the time. Of course, that was the West. Tennessee wasn't even a state, but North Carolina, of course, was one of the original, colonies. So they moved from outside Charlotte, and they kind of moved up, I guess, came through the gap, so to speak, and they stayed. Well, now we're going to see what happens in our lineage as Christians and where these folks ended up and the children of Noah. So I made some notes because I had to, because there's no way I could remember everything. But if you'll notice, Shem was the oldest. Japheth was the middle child. And Ham was the youngest. And, of course, we said the whole earth was populated from them. So we'll talk about Japheth first. We're going to take the middle child. And the reason why, because that affects us. He was the middle child, and according to the scripture we just read, the isles were of the Gentiles, were their lands. So Gentile nations came from Japheth. So you remember a couple weeks ago we mentioned with Nebuchadnezzar and talked about the head and the structures of the body and the head of gold, etc., and Gentile nations and how Christ would come back and rule the world, and Gentile nations would be no more. Well, Japheth would have been like the, I guess, however many greats, granddad that would be of the Gentile nation. So I jotted some of these down and said, when you took it, Japheth and his sons, the sons of Japheth. If you go to chapter 10, right across the page in my Bible, and we're going to look at these, and I'll tell you what tribe that I think from my study they represent. So the sons of Japheth, and that's us. So if you've got any of this lineage in your family, it kind of gives you an idea of going way, way back. As far as Gentile nations. Let's look at Gomer. And I can always remember it. This is a G. I might not even needed to write it down, but I was trying to remember these early on. That's Germany. That would be the tribes of Germany. And so verse number 2, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Terus. Like I said, I was going to have trouble with those names. These were the tribes of Germany. They later traveled far north and became the Celtics. And it became what we know as England, Ireland, Scotland, Norway. Basically, everything you know of as Great Britain all came from Gomer, Germany, and that area. Also, think about this. From that came Martin Luther, came the Wesleys. Also, though, Catholicism came out of that group. Also, the Druids, which we think of and associate with Halloween. And a lot of, pagan practices all came from that group as well. As you go down and you look, some of the one of Gomer's sons, which we're told about in verse number 3, Ashkenaz, that actually becomes a nation of Russia and Armenia, and a lot of those Soviet bloc countries that we would have thought of as we grew up during the Cold War. And so again, sons of Japheth, that incorporates a lot of the Gentiles and Gentile nations that we see. And you say, well, you know, that's good. I already knew that. We had a European heritage. But hang on just a second. When we get to Shem and get to Ham, you're going to say, oh, or at least that's what I did. I understand a lot of things now. Oh, going back to the curse of Ham. And it starts to, as you see things occurring in the Bible and Scripture, we always know God keeps His Word. And there's no, I guess Brother Kenny and I was talking about that earlier in the week. It doesn't contradict itself. And so even in these nations and these peoples, there's no contradiction. So I'll continue and again keep moving on, because I know sometimes this stuff, it's I'm talking about lineage, people say, oh, I don't want to get into that too deep. So we'll go on to Magog, which is the northern part of Russia, which you get around the Arctic and incorporate some of like Norway and that area. Madai, which we saw in verse number 2 as well. If you look, that's the boundaries cannot be defined exactly. They were nomads. They were wanderers. That's a lot of Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, parts of Turkey, what we consider old Persia. And if you think about it today and you look at nations that are, I don't know how else better to say, that they're kind of successful, kind of they're in the world politics and leadership roles. Saudi Arabia is. Always in the news. Of course, that's because of their oil. They kind of control that. That's why our prices are going up now. There's a deal they made back in 2016 that not many people knew about. And their deal was to cut production slowly, and then you'd have a price increase, and that's what they've got. Parts of Turkey, again, we mentioned. And, of course, Iran. Of course, they're going to be mixed peoples as well. Javan, which is Greece. That's another son of Japheth, and we'll move on through these. Tubal, which is a lot of Romania. Then you get into Meshes, which is, again, around Spain, Turkey, Greece, Romania, anything along the Black Sea. So we'll move on. So that's your sons of Japheth and grandsons. So that's really where we can trace our lineage back to as Gentiles. We go back and see. Now, Ham. And I saved Shem for last because, of course, that's going to be the Jewish people and the Israelites that we'll look at. Sons of Ham. Now, if you'll remember, Ham was the one that was cursed. So I mentioned some of these. Think about it. Ham was the youngest son of Noah. And as we look, so we've already looked at, he was a cursed people. Now, think about these as I mentioned these names. I went through the Scripture and looked these up, and I hope I got them right. But as Israel came out of Egypt, and it's going to be several years down the road, think about some of the nations they defeated or some of the people they became servants to the Israelite people. That'd be the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, even the Egyptians. And you think about once the Israel left Egypt, you think about that time of the Pharaohs. Once they left, has Egypt ever been a world power since then? You go back through history and you look and study, Egypt has not. World War I, World War II, Egypt was basically, they rode camels. Everybody else had tanks and jeeps, and the U.S. had to go in and bail them out from Germany invading them in Italy. So think about that as far as the people. Egypt was in the news this week and all the turmoil they've got with their leader. They've got a military-style dictatorship. And for 30 years, they thought they had peace, but the same thing was going on. The military, more or less, runs the country. They have a person in charge as a president, and it's supposed to be a democratic elections, but as with a lot of countries, surprising, a lot of people that are running for office against whoever's in at the time just happened to end up in jail or dead. That's right. That's what happens in Russia. Yeah, that's right. You don't put your name on the ballot because you'll end up dead. But so as you see, Egypt is no longer a world power. And the Philistines troubled Israel. Remember, the Philistines, they really never had a land. They were nomadic, and they'd travel, and they never farmed really, never really had any livestock, because their goal was to make it as long as they could with what provisions they had, and then as soon as crops came in, they would attack and steal from other people. That's just kind of their methods. And if you think about today, where's Philistines? Who were they? You don't hear that anymore. Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, they were all absorbed by others. In other words, they were a cursed people. They didn't have a nation. Of course, we'll see in just a second how that still troubles, remnants of that still troubles Israel today. But I thought that was really interesting when we looked at Ham. Because you say, well, Ham was cursed, but we're, 2,000 years later, do we still see that to this day? And yes, we do. Egyptians, or Egypt, is still the only nation that's in existence from that time. But if you looked at Egypt, and I'll move on, 90-95% of the Egyptian people are mixed race. Only about 5% can truly say they're truly Egyptians today. So again, those people, along with Canaanites, Hittites, etc., have been, basically their existence has been wiped away. They've been mixed in with other countries and nations. I made a note here about the Quran. In the Quran, it suggested that Canaan was the son of Noah. Of course, the Bible tells us it was his grandson, and I just made a note of that. Of course, we know the Canaanites, Joshua defeated them. And so even if the Quran has that or not, Joshua, which again would be descendant from Shem, affected them. Made a few more notes, and then we'll be done this morning, because I told Kim, I said, I like this stuff, or it might have been I was telling Jesse, and she said, yeah, but not everybody likes talking about their heritage, because she usually puts her plugs in for her phone. If I start talking to them, she'll listen to me and pull one out and listen, and she'll stick it back in. So I don't want to drive you guys to doing that this morning. If I look out there and all of you got white cords running from your ears, I know I've taken a little bit too long. But again, as Christians, I think it's good to go back sometimes and look, and we talk about the New Testament and the apostles and the church and our ancestry there and how they kept the word alive, so to speak. I know it would have stayed alive, but I mean carried it as they went. And so you think as they came out of Germany, and remember the guy with the Bibles, he talked about how those tribes of Germany, you remember he talked about that, and some of you may not have been here or heard him, so it's been several years ago, but how they coveted the scripture. They tear pages out of the Bible and hide it. And he gave examples, and he knew their names of people that would, they'd go in and raid their house, and they'd find that page in the Bible or two, and they'd try to get them to denounce Christ as their Savior. They'd take them out and burn them at the stake, and et cetera, hang them or whatever they do, try to pull them apart. And I remember him saying, said the only reason why they didn't do Martin Luther that way was because he was from that area. He was one of them, so to speak, in Germany. So when the church at that time, or the Catholic Church, or whoever was in Rome at the time, they were afraid that if we kill one of their own, they're no longer going to be our ally. So that's why they allowed him to live, because what they didn't want was those warlike tribes to move in and take over them. Well, those same people migrated. See how the word of God spread. So you think about how the apostles were persecuted and people that were saved and the church spread out from Jerusalem. Well, think of the same thing occurred in Germany. That nation, that area was settled early. people spread out from there. They went to Great Britain and Scotland and Ireland and places to take the Bible and the Word of God with them, to move out and move away. And as they did, word spread. Of course, when they came to this country, they brought the Word of God with them. You think about even the English translation, King James version of the Bible. Great Britain's where that came from. So as you go back and look at this lineage, it's important to see who these people were. And I'll move on after that. We'll get to Shem and we'll be done. I got a couple more things about Ham that are important. Ham had three sons remaining. Cush, whose ancestors settled the Sudan or the Persian Gulf. You think about those little countries. I met a gentleman earlier this week. We ETSU had some meetings in Sevierville. And they tried something new and moved us down there for, I guess it was 2 nights and 3 days if you wanted to stay or you drive back and forth, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And what they wanted to do was get us away from the campus, talk about, you know, anyway, semester and all that stuff. Not going into that. But I met a guy there from Great Britain. Strong, strong, strong English accent. Said he'd been in the British military. He retired. And I don't know how you hear about Dollywood when you live in Great Britain, but evidently he did. And so Dolly's world-renowned, I guess. And so he moved over here and working at Dollywood, 72 years old, I think he said, and seemed to be fit as a fiddle. And we started talking, and Yemen is where he was stationed. And he talked about how they would try to train the people of Yemen in that region. And he said what he found after 20 years staying there back and forth, he never married. He stayed in the British military and training their armies. He said when we pulled out, he said, nothing changed. They went right back to their old ways. He said, you know, that's where the terrorists came from that bombed U.S. ships. He said, that's some of the training grounds. He talked about the other areas there. He said, you even go back to the 1800s when they used to rob the merchant ships that went through. He said, they're just pirates. And I thought about it as I was studying this, and he was saying that. I said, he's describing, again, a nation or a people that really no order. There's no, in other words, you could say that they're a cursed people. They've always been that way. There's no order to anything that they do. You know, food's lacking. They're led by leaders who are more military-minded. There's always a coup. There's always someone to overthrow them. So think about and look through history as you think about that area of the world. And they were part of Ham's descendants. Mizraim, which was one of Ham's descendants, would have been what we think the father of Egypt. And you think about the people of Libya and of southern Africa still came from Ham's people. Their nations are there, but as far as a world voice, do they have one? And it's sad to say, but a lot of times, you know, you think about the countries we've mentioned before, those are the voices you hear. Of course, that goes back to that statue that Daniel saw as well. We mentioned Russia, Germany, Great Britain, the United States, etc., Gentile people. And this gets into something else people always ask. Well, what do you think about the United States in the end times? So they're not mentioned. I said, Mr. Grills and I had this conversation years ago. That falls under the Isles of the Gentiles, I think, and that's all still Great Britain and all in there together. Of course, we could be non-existent the way the country's going. You never know. That's all speculation on my part. I don't know. But some people think we'll fall from within, much like other nations have done, but not only us. It'll be all the Gentile nations, of course. And with that's when you'd see the Great Britain and, because you think about it, as it mentioned, Scotland and Ireland, these other areas in Great Britain, that's basically where we came from. We were one of their isles, so to speak. They settled us. And let me move on. I'm getting too thought. But think about Ham. He was a cursed young man, and his father cursed him. So think about the peoples of the lineage of Ham. And it came true. And you say, well, I know it would. It was in the Scripture. But if you ever stop and think about it, we've always read through that and said, well, what nations are those? Well, that's who they are. And let's get to the last one in Shem. And I saved it for last. That's God's people. Not saying we're not, I mean, as Christian, but I'm saying in the Old Testament, nation of Israel. That was his, and so the apple of his eye. So let's look at the descendants of Shem. Shem is, of course, is ancestor of Abraham. That's the lineage Abraham came from. And I made sure to jot this down. I can remember a lot of it, but here's where it really, I may have to just read it to you. The Bible informs us that through Abraham came the nation of Israel. But Quran teaches that Abraham is the ancestor of Muhammad. But he's also, Abraham is the father, if I got that right, of Ishmael. And Abraham, so in the Muslims, there's one thing they have in, unity, or not unity, but common with Israel, and of course us, the Gentiles, because we believe Abraham, who he was, and his lineage. But they also believe Abraham existed as well. But this just how we think they followed Ishmael and went the wrong direction. They think Israel's the enemy the other way and tried to steal from them. So if you look here, they say that Abraham built a stone structure, a wall, over in Mecca. And that's why the Muslims go there or have to sometime during their life and pray. They're supposed to go over in Saudi Arabia, where that is. They said Abraham built that, and we must go over there, and that's why we always have to face that direction when we're praying. So they trace that all back to Abraham, which is the son of Shem. So what you're looking at now are the peoples that you think that trouble Israel the most, and Israel, all consider themselves descendants of Abraham and thus Shem. So they're all considered a blessed people. Now Japheth, which the Gentiles are, we're told in Scripture and, of course, over in the New Testament, the time of the Gentiles, of course, told in the Old and New Testament, is at hand. And that's what we have going out now. The missionaries going out around the world, preaching of the gospel, the word getting out. But then Shem, of course, everything's going to wrap up at the end, we consider with Israel. And so it is, and of course, church will be raptured. We'll be out of here. But now, the Muslims only believe a very small portion of that, and that's really the part about Abraham. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Abraham had two sons, of course you know that, one by handmaid Hagar, who was an Egyptian. Now, what lineage does that put her in? See, son of Ham. So she's already from the lineage of a cursed people, and the other was by Sarah. Now, Hagar had Ishmael, and Sarah had Isaac. And as you stop and look, both trace, I guess the Jews do, and the Muslims trace everything back to Abraham. Okay, Ishmael, if you look at, and we don't have time to turn for the sake of time, we've got about 2 minutes left, and I'll try to get through this, and I should have sped on through Ham, because it's, well, you just have to go back if you're interested in it and read it sometime for yourself, and write as you read, because it can get confusing. Ishmael is blessed with 12 princes and rulers of states and provinces, and would have a great nation he will beget. That's Genesis 17, if you go back and read that. So even Ishmael was blessed as far as worldly possessions go, as far as nations and being rulers. Okay. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. You guys all know that. Esau, he settled Edom. Edomites. Remember, they troubled Israel. Always gave them trouble. Remember when they was even coming out of Egypt? Remember, they were supposed to try to pass through and not bother them. Of course, Edomites attacked them. But if you can see, it was like God instructed them because they were kindred. They were of the same lineage. So that's the Edomites, but again, that's Esau's people. So that's roughly what you see today in the countries around Jordan. Would be a lot of the Edomites, but that's, again, getting off track there. So Esau and his descendants, very mountainous people, a lot around the countries of Jordan. They were blessed with lands that were very rich in natural resources. And if you look over, I made a note here, it's over in Deuteronomy, where the Edomites were to be left alone unless they were attacked. They were to leave them alone, not bother them, is what God had told them. And he called them brethren. Moving on, and we'll be finished. Of course, Esau, we know, got mad because he thought Jacob stole his blessing. That's where it goes back to the Edomites and the reason why they didn't like the nation of Israel. He was very spiteful. He married and intermarried with the people of Ham. Last but not least, I'll get down here. I've already told you all that. All right. Herod, I added this in, we're getting over to the New Testament and we're done. Because I'm not going to go over the nation of Israel and Jacob and Isaac, and you guys know. But just as a side note, hey, we talked about how these lineages play a role. Move over to the New Testament, think about the family of Herod. Talk about a family name, and we all know who Herod is. They were Edomites, so they lived in the same area as Israel. They got to their position of authority through politics. They were very friendly with Rome. The first Herod was married 10 different times. He had many children, sons and daughters. The palace when he was there was full of hatred and strife. He hated the children of Israel. History documents that he may have lost his mind later in life. This is the same Herod who had male children slaughtered at the time of Jesus' birth. Very spiteful man. He hated the nation of Israel. See, it all goes back to Esau. He was in that lineage where he was taught and raised up. Don't like, you know, Israel stole from us. The Jews did. Herod publicly observed the Jewish law. He did that publicly, but behind the scenes he didn't. He had a temple built and reestablished Sanhedrin court, but that was just to appease the Jewish people. His son, Herod Antipas, is the one that ordered the death of John the Baptist. So you can see how already how this lineage begins to play a role. Of course, I'm not going over the rest of it, but we get into some of the Middle Eastern countries today, and you can trace them back to that same lineage of Ishmael and how they're still troubling Israel. As you go back there and you look and read and study that out, even with Herod, and that's why I wanted to use them as an example, they were taught early on to hate the nation of Israel, to hate the Jews. You can see, as you look there too at the lineage, the number of sons and daughters were greater with Ishmael and his sons than they were with the Jewish people, or they were with Isaac and Jacob and their family lineage. And of course, we know Israel, they're a smaller nation, so to speak, as far as number of people. And they've been persecuted and, you know, wanderers, so to speak, since the New Testament, since Christ was here and the nation Jerusalem was destroyed. Anyway, I share that with you this morning. I hope it gets you something to think about. It may be just a different direction, because sometimes I think it helps to go back and all scriptures, I guess, given to us and for us to look at and study. And even if you get down to something, and I say as simple as we think of sometimes ancestry, there's no contradiction. I mean, things seem like, as even back in Noah and his sons and what occurred, and you look at their sons and family, it all occurred the way God said it would. And if you look at those peoples today, that's where we're still at. You talk about, again, go back to Daniel and the statue he saw, and he talked about the head and, of course, the shoulders and the chest, and he goes down to the waist and the legs and the feet, etc., and talks about how he'd be broken into pieces by the chief cornerstone. And, you know, Gentile nations are really in charge today, we think of. When I say in charge, we're not, but I mean as far as world thinks, they are. And then you look at the other nations where the Jewish people are today, always battling, always fighting. You know, I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, difference with the Jews, he said, when they fight in Israel, he said, the reason why no one really wants to mess with them, that's the words he used, he said, mess with them, he said, over in the Middle East, he said, because that they fight so hard. And he said, that's because they're fighting for survival. And he said that, you know, they train men and women right out of high school to fight, how to handle a weapon. And he said, so they're armed. They all can handle themselves, so to speak. And you go back and you follow this lineage and you can see why that is. They're surrounded by people that hate them. And they were taught that way. And even going back to Herod, I just picked him out singly. He was in Scripture, and I knew you guys would know that family lineage and know how they hated the Jews. And politically, they may have appeared friendly, but behind the scenes, just with the two examples I gave you, they killed all the firstborn, trying to snuff out Christ, And, of course, the wise men knew that. And, of course, we remember from Dunedin what she puts together there every year. She always brings it out very well at Christmas time, how they went around to avoid that. And then, of course, his son killed John the Baptist. Of course, that was at request. But that was after watching that dance and of course, gave her anything she wanted. And that was what she wanted, the head of John the Baptist. So he said, that's no problem. I got him in jail. And so, anyway, you got time to visit this morning. Again, and not just thinking about your own ancestry sometime, but think about Scripture, too, and where we're at today. And all right, that's all I have.